Father God, we come again and say thank you, Father God. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you do. Set the tone, Father God. Set the atmosphere. We pray, Father God, someone's here. With questions, Father God, I pray that you meet them there. Someone has to make a decision. Someone is struggling with something, Father God. I pray, Father God, that your word goes forth over our ears so we can hear your word, your truth. But not just hear it, Father God, that we can be doers of your word. Change us from the inside out. Use us as instruments to touch those around us, Father God. We thank you for the opportunity. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We, again, have been in this series simply entitled Love Where You Live. And when I say love where you live, I'm not talking about the atmosphere. I'm not talking about the environment. I'm not talking about the blue skies, the green grass. I'm not talking about entertainment. What I'm talking about is loving the people where you live, specifically your neighbors. Do you know your neighbors? Some people told me, I've been doing this for a long time. I know every one of my neighbors by name. I pray for them. Kudos to those who are doing that. My challenge to you would be go outside the block and go into the community. Talk to those who don't know Jesus Christ. Share the love in such an amazing way that they want to know who you are because you're different. It's okay to be different in Christ. It is that attraction, that love that attracts others. Because God wants you and I to love people as he loved them, as he sees them. I said this passage last week, Matthew 22. Verse 37, it says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. In this text, Jesus is having a conversation with some religious leaders. And here they're trying to trap Jesus. They're conversing and they're debating on what's the most important commandment. It's over 600. They couldn't get it right, but they said, what an awesome privilege to try to trap him, finally. So they went to him and posed him a question. What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus in this, he's a master teacher. He took from Leviticus chapter 19, and he took from Deuteronomy 6 and said, simply put, love God, love people. I believe you cannot truly love people unless you love God, because God is love. What God is saying, the more I pour into you, the more you can give to others. The more room you make for me in your heart, the more that you can touch the lives of those around you. How are you doing in this area? I want to give a recap because maybe some, it's maybe your first time. If not, this would be a rehearsal for others. Week one, we encourage you to step out of your comfort zone and get to know the people around you, literally your neighbors. Many of us don't know our neighbors. We interact with our neighbors when they do something we don't like, right? You're trying to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning, they decide to have a party. Amen. They want to park their car on the lawn, and it brings your property value down. You might go the next door and you want to post, please stop parking on the front lawn. You're bringing my property value down. I read that this week. But what God is saying is, I want you to do more than that. I want you to be very intentional with the people that I placed around you. Because how else are they going to hear the love of Jesus Christ if you don't go introduce yourself? So we said, create opportunities, create pathways where you can have an interaction with them, whether it's over a cup of coffee, whether it's over a meal or a conversation. We encourage you to get out of your comfort zone. How are you doing with that? In week two, we talked about treating people as people and not as machinery. We said that there's three ways a person may look at someone. The first way you might look at someone, you might look at them as just scenery. They're just part of the backdrop. You don't talk to your neighbors. You don't talk to them at all. You do what you do. You go home. You might wave on occasion, but you go in and shut the door. Then we said you might look at them as machinery. You pick them up and put them down when you need them. Could you look over my house, please, while I'm gone? That's the first time you talk to them. You do a great job at cutting grass. You mind cutting mine? You might go over there and ask for some sugar, some coffee, some milk. You never spoke to them at all until you needed them. But that's not what we've been challenging you this month. We want you to see them as God sees them. Because everyone is in the image and likeness of God. And he says, I want you to go out there and minister to them because I want to use you as instruments to touch those around you. Last week I spoke about finding opportunities to share your testimony in hopes that you can win someone to Christ. Now, you're not the one winning. Our job is to plant. Our job is to water. It is only God who yields the increase. But he wants to use you and I as an example to those to bring them into the house of God. So we're going to end the series today. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. So if you have your Bibles or your smartphone, please turn there. So we're going to turn there. This is where we're going to spend the majority of our time. Matthew chapter 28. This is a very familiar text. So familiar that some choose not to live by it. You can read a text over and over and over again, but I guarantee you can get something new out of it every time you read it. And in this text, Jesus is commissioning his disciples to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. You've been with me 3 years. Now I want you to go out there and share the love of Jesus Christ to the world. To give you some background here, we know that Jesus was around 33 years old when he died. He spent 3 years in ministry. He came on the scene the last 3 years. He was baptized by John the Baptist, his cousin. He went off into the desert, the scripture says. There he wrestled 40 days and 40 nights. The enemy was trying to overtake him, but he was victorious. Our Jesus is victorious. From there, he comes back on the scene. He begins to walk on the seashore, and John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." It is at that time that Jesus began to select his team, his ministry. He selected 12 men who was going to do church with him. From there, they went throughout the region from town to town preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. At that time, Jesus spoke to thousands of people, healed many. The word of God spread. They began to find out where Jesus was, kind of like the paparazzi. They wanted a selfie with Jesus. They wanted his autograph. He was that good. He was that great. But there also were some people that hated him. It was the religious leaders because they could not understand why he was so radical. And they finally got what they wanted. One of his disciples named Judas decided to give him up for some silver. How many of you are trying to give up something, or what are you trying to sell yourself for? Jesus is the only answer. It is at that time where they came and arrested Jesus. They beat him. They crucified him. They placed him in a tomb. That's what we pick up in Matthew 28. After 3 days, two ladies went to go to the gravesite to see him. When they got there, they were surprised. It says that the stone was rolled away. There was an angel sitting on the stone. And this is what it says in verse 6 of Matthew 28. He is not here. That's Jesus. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Here it is, the angel speaks to these women. Come see, he's not there. It says that they were fearful but also joyful. They took the angel at his word. They begin to go tell the disciples. But then in the scripture, something happened. It says suddenly they encountered Jesus. He appeared out of nowhere. My God is a sudden God. He can move in and out if you allow him to. You just got to open your heart to him. It is at that time where Jesus said, greetings. He affirmed what the angel said. It says they worshiped him. Then they ran quickly. Go tell my brothers to meet me on the mountain. I will be there. And that's what we pick up in verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. We do not know the actual mountain that they went on. The reason why Jesus picked Galilee, because that's where majority of the disciples were. So he must have told them prior to him being crucified where to meet him when he passed. Verse 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I wonder what it looked like for him, them waiting on the mountain. What was their expectation? How long were they on the mountain? We don't know. But the scripture says as they saw him approaching, they began to worship him. The 11 worshiped him because they were not doubting, because they saw Jesus on several occasions before this incident. When they were cowering, they were behind a locked door and Jesus showed up. One of the disciples wasn't there, which was Thomas. He came back and said, Thomas, put your finger right there. Yeah, it's me. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. He saw them again on the road. So they were not doubting. It was the others that were doubting. It said some doubted. We don't know how many was there, but we know that some means more than one. Now, throughout his life, when he came back from the dead, it says that within 40 days, he visited and showed himself to 500 believers. We know that for sure. Verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He said, you may be doubting, you may be unsure. Yes, I'm not floating in the air. I might not be glowing, but rest assured that all authority is in my hands. Everything that was said to come has come true. I am the true God. I am the one. Everything that the scripture spoke of was fulfilled in me. Indeed, and in fact, it was meant to point to me. And now I'm here. And this is the commandment he gives them. He said, now that you know that, therefore go. Not stay, go. And make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them and commanding them to everything I've told you to, and behold, I am with you always. Now, many of us have been in church for a while. And I pray that you don't allow the familiarity of this text to get to you. Those who are jaded, those who are cynical, those who believe they arrived and now they're sitting in the pew. The scripture says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. It's not an if, it's a now. It means it's non-negotiable. If you are a true disciple of Jesus Christ, he said, therefore, go. You're in here because someone went and found you. Was it your parents? Was it your best friend? Was it your coworker? Was it your boss? Somebody went and found you. Now it's your responsibility and my responsibility to also go there for and make. It's not optional. So I pray that you do not allow the words to be simple. I pray that you will do what God has called you to do. So I want to spend the rest of the time this morning speaking on how do we share the gospel? How can we go outside of these walls and preach the word in such an amazing way that lives can be changed, souls can be saved? Because it's not God's will that any should perish. But the truth is, many are not going to accept. But that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to go. So from this text that was written by Matthew, I want to pull three biblical truths. I want to glean three truths that will help us go spread the good news. The first one is, in order to preach the word, you must first be a disciple. Here, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. A disciple was someone who comes alongside and learns from, who pick up the traits from the master teacher. A disciple is an apprentice. If you want to be a plumber, you may go to the school and get the certificate, but it's not until you come alongside a master plumber that you learn the ins and outs about plumbing. You want to be a construction worker, or you might want to be an electrician. Yeah, you can get all A's all you want, but until you get out there and begin to work that thing, you don't know what it means to be a master at that. I find it quite amusing when men and women want to be police officers. I would interview them. Corporal, this has always been my desire. Ever since I was a kid, I used to watch SWAT. They kick in the doors. That's what I want to be. I just want to save the world. Yeah, amen. They go to school, they get out. We hit the streets. They get scared. Not all of them. I thought she wanted to be a cop. This is not what I signed up for. You might want to be a nurse. Yeah, you guys use color dye to look like blood and all those things. You want to put the IV in the little animals and all those things. But now you're in the room with a surgeon, and he's performing or she's performing this major surgery, and blood is going everywhere. And you're the nurse sitting in the back. And then he says, pass me an instrument. You grab it off of the table. You walk up to him. You pass out. But it all looked good. Now here, Jesus is back. He's simply saying, I need you to go now. You've walked with me for 3 years. I poured into you for 3 years. Now it's time for you to go and make disciples out of all nations. You learn from me. You learn from the best. Now it's time for you to do your part. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, he's not optional. He's saying, go therefore. What I find amazing in this text, if you go back to verse 16 and 17, it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. He gathered them together. He met them there. We know that there were 11 plus there. After instructing him, he said, now I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to go there and wait for me. Not for me, but for the Holy Spirit. When you get there, he's going to rest on you. That's the only way you're going to be able to go out there into this world and preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Without me, you can do nothing. So go there and wait. My Father's going to send you the helper that's going to help you in this commandment that I told you to. What I find interesting, if you go down to verse, actually, let's go first to verse 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 6. It says, after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. We know that during his 40 years after resurrection, he spent 40 days on earth. It says that he saw over 500 men and women around. So from the time he was buried, from the time he rose, he showed himself to over 500 people. Now he sends these same people, he challenges these same people to go to Jerusalem to receive the power. But Acts 1 verses 14 and 15, this is what I find interesting. It says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120 people. Now, this is where it gets good. Jesus preached to the thousands, to the multitudes. From the time he died, from the time he resurrected, it went from thousands to 500. In a matter of 40 days, it went from 500 to 120 people. What happened to the other 380 people? Where did they go? Within 40 days, they are not existent. Are you one of those 380 where you're in God's grace when you want what you want, but when he gives you an order or a commandment, you disappear? He says, I'm challenging you guys to go because I need you to go and spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. So now, but it's only 120 in the room. But do you know God can do more with 120 than he can do with 500? If you love Jesus, you love Jesus. And part of loving him is to follow his commandments. Are you being a disciple of him? And if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, I pray that today will be the day that you give your life totally to him. He's the only one that can work it out for you. However, but if you are a disciple, are you going therefore to the world? Do you know it's a commandment? Look at John 14, 15. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, you would get out of your comfort zone and touch those around you. If you love me, despite being rejected, ignored, made fun of, you will go do my job, my assignment that I've given you. And who are we not to go? Jesus came to earth for you and I. He made himself in the likeness of man and dwelt among us. He's the reason that we have a relationship with God. Who are we not to go share the good news to the world? So in order for us to share the good news of Jesus Christ, we must first be disciples. That's number one. Next thing you must do if you're a disciple, you must look beyond the walls. This was the issue that the Pharisees and the other religious leaders were having with Jesus. This is why they consider him radical, because he didn't follow their mandate, their structure in life. He was out there mingling with the common people, those who were broken, those who were scarred, those who were kicked out of the temple, out of the synagogue. He said, I'm going to them. Why? Because a woman with the issue of blood, she wasn't allowed in the temple. The man who had leprosy, they weren't allowed in the temple. The centurion who was asking for help for his child, he wasn't allowed in the temple. Jesus did all of his work, most of his work, outside the temple, meeting with people, talking with people. That's now why he challenges the disciples to therefore go now. You learn from me. You saw me do it. Who are you not to go? That's where he did his most work. Look at Matthew 28:19 again. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Go out there and spread the good news. Change lives. Give them something different. But what if they reject me? What if they don't listen to me? Is that coming from a pure heart, or is that coming from a righteous mind? Because that was a struggle between the Pharisees and Jesus. He went out into the community. He went out. He looked beyond the walls of the temple. He said, I'm going to them. I'm going to speak to them. I'm going to minister to them. I'm going to use them. I'm going to heal them. So much so that an argument ensued. Look at Mark chapter 2, verse 17. Jesus overheard the Pharisees complaining about what miracle he just did. And he says this, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come to call the righteous. I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinner. I don't know what you're thinking about. I'm not here for the righteous. I'm here for those who are hurting. You think you have it all together, but you guys are far from the truth, is what he's telling them. But you, since you think you got it all together, I'm here for the sinners. I came to seek and to save the lost. So here he mandates us to go, therefore, beyond our thinking. And many of us won't go because of our prejudices. Our processes. They don't look like me, act like me, talk like me, so I don't want to go to them. This was the argument that Jesus had with another religious leader in Luke chapter 10. That's when he simply said, who is my neighbor? Tell me and make it clean, because my neighbor, how I look at it, he must be a Jew. And he must be in good standing. And if he is not, then I don't fraternize with those other people. But here it says, go to all nations. That means all people groups. Because everyone is in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, of God himself. He said he's in the image and the likeness, so therefore go. We have amazing ministries here at Sunrise Church. One of them is Doers of the Word. Twice a month they get together. They go outside the walls. They meet the people where they are. They provide clothes. They provide their time. They pray for them. They give them food. They bring them to Christ. Mario and his team, Lupe and Jabari, they get out there with the rest of them and they spread the good news of Jesus Christ, looking for a way, a door to open that they can just share the love of Christ in hopes that the person's life will be changed. Another ministry here, we have teams that go to Mexico. You have Rod and Yoko. You have Yolanda and her husband, Caesar, their team. They go out there to Mexico and they help those who do not have. Just recently, went and built another house out there. It was a lady living in a cardboard box with six children. But God put it on their heart to go out there and go. They went out there. They ministered to them. They fed them. They built them a home. Now they have a place to call home. Now to you and I, it don't quite matter to us. Why? Because we live in a 4- and 5-bedroom house. We have the water hooked up at the right time. We have hot and cold water. And when it's not hot, you're on the phone with the plumber. You need to come see about this water. It's lukewarm. I want hot. But in many countries, people don't even have that. They're barely surviving. Are you following the commandment that Jesus said in Matthew 28? Are you therefore going to those places? Now, that might not be your calling, but are you at least performing the Great Commission locally? God wants you to leave your fears and push out on that. Amen? So again, you must first be a disciple. Once you're a disciple, you must look beyond the walls. And then finally, you must go and tell the good news to the world. Now, the world there means all nations, not some, all. Look at verse 19 again. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. That goal is a commandment. It is a directive, meaning you are to go, therefore, and make. In this room, there's so many different occupations. And you may think your job is not important, but it is to society. If you're a teacher, your job is important to the students. Why? Because they are going to keep this country moving. If you're a construction worker, you have to be all in because you have to build the person's home. Lord, please don't build my home if you half in. Jesus said you need to be all in. I need you to go, therefore, and make disciples. Whatever your occupation is, it is important because you work within a system. And what Jesus is saying, that you're in the best system, which is the kingdom of God, and I expect you to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. It's a non-negotiable. There's not a choice. But there's many reasons why people don't go. Many of it's based on fear. Well, Pastor, what if I go? I'm afraid that they will reject me. Jesus said, I'm with you always. But what if I go and then I freeze up based on anxiety and I don't know what to say? Don't worry about that, because Jesus said, go and I will be with you. What if when I start speaking, they don't understand me and then I'm stuck? That's not your concern. Jesus said, therefore, go, and I will be with you. You know who are some of the courageous people I know? You guys are going to laugh, but it's the Girl Scouts. You know the Girl Scouts? I'm pretty sure you've seen them. They're in front of every grocery store right now passing out cookies. They're there. They dressed up. They got the uniform on. The mother has put the nice makeup on. They got the hair nice. They got their vests on. They're armed with cookies. And they're interacting with everyone that comes in their space. Through rejection, through being ignored, they're still standing there smiling. Last Thursday, I went to Stater Brothers. And it was a packed night, so I had to park way in the back. And I see them at the entrance. But there's people walking in before me. The first person that walks up to them, she says, hello, sir, how you doing? Would you like to buy some cookies? He was so mean. I don't want no cookies. He walked in. She said, okay, thank you anyway. The next individual walks up. Same spiel, hello. Would you like to support the Girl Cup? He simply ignored her and kept walking. Thank you for listening. Then another man walks up. Now I'm getting closer to the door. Excuse me, sir. Would you like to buy some cookies? He said, baby, I'm going to be out here tomorrow. My daughter have to do cookies tomorrow. Okay, thank you for your service. Now she gets to me. Hello, sir. Would you like to buy some cookies? In a matter of seconds, she was yelled at. She was ignored. She was rejected. And then she heard a yes. I wonder if we had the same faith and the same courage as that Girl Scout. How different would this world be if we as Christians were to get out of our comfort zone and share the good news of Jesus Christ as that young lady had the courage to sell cookies. I believe that's what Jesus meant when he said, if we have the mind of a child, innocent, can roll with the punches, how different would the world be? Would we be able to share the gospel as she shared those cookies? Yes, it may be scary. Yes, you may be afraid, but God says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. But what if they don't listen to me? Scriptures deal with that too. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Our responsibility is go share the good news. And if we reject it, the word says, dust it off your feet and keep moving. Because someone is going to hear the word of God. And lives are going to be changed one person at a time. Our responsibility is just to go how the person responds. That's their job. We're called to go. Romans 10, 14, I said this last week. How then can they call on the one they have never believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet for those who bring the good news. In that text, there's five hows. You don't worry about the how. That's God's job. Your job is to do. Our job is to go, therefore, and make. Our job is to preach the good news of Jesus Christ to anyone that will listen. And if they don't listen, God knows. We must be committed to being his disciples if you're truly his disciple. I'm so excited about this year's Easter. We're doing something totally different. This year, we're challenging every campus pastor to donate hours within their community. As a Sunrise body, we're looking at donating 5,000 hours into our respective communities. That's going beyond these walls and preaching the good news of Jesus. Flooding the city with Jesus. How God can change your life from the inside out. But I'm mostly encouraged about what we're going to do April 8th. If you have a pen, write this down. April 8th. We're doing a global project where we're going to literally pack thousands of meals, over 20,000 meals from 6:30 to 7:30. Within an hour, we're going to pack those meals. We're going to pray over those meals, and we're going to send them to a village in Africa. I was told that this food will last them 7.5 months. That's amazing. Going somewhere that no one's ever been to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to touch the wounds and preach the word, allowing God to see something new and different. So again, if you're free that day, it's on a Wednesday night. We're going to worship, sing, come together. We're going to pack the food, pray over the food, and then we're going to send it off. They're going to take pictures, they're going to do video, and they're going to send it back to us. And my goal is to show you the video. Because we want to be a church that's following the Great Commission. We want to go and touch those in the community. But in order to go and touch those, as I said before, you must first be a disciple. And I want to speak a little bit to those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. My question is, what are you waiting on? You're here for a reason. Someone has invited you here. Are you going to be the 120 that went to Jerusalem for their next assignment? Or are you going to be the other 380 which ignores and go about their business. They didn't have the whole Bible, we do. So you know how the story ends. We're victorious in him. But you might not know that. So I want to encourage you, after service in the lobby, they're going to be men and women at the coming of God table. They would love to walk with you through relationship with Jesus Christ. Do not leave here not knowing, because tomorrow is not promised. No one is guaranteed tomorrow. But why put off something that you can take care of today? If God is pressing your heart, please visit them at the table. For the others, those who accepted Jesus Christ, how are you doing in this area of going? Matthew 28 again, 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them everything that I've commanded you. And I'm with you always. Are you truly fulfilling that commitment? If we're honest, we can all say we need to work on that some more. So this is to recharge you, to remind you that we're called and we're mandated. It's not optional. And God wants you to share the love of Christ to a hurting world. Last week, I called my father and we were talking. And he doesn't talk too much religion. That's what he would always say. I'm not too much of a religious man. That's how he always starts it. But I was telling him how my day was going. And he said something that was so profound to me because it came from his mouth. He said, well, the Bible says God won't put nothing on you more than you can bear. And I paused on the phone and he said, hello? I said, yes. I said, what you know about that? He said, Anthony, I'm not stupid. He said, all I had back in the day was God. He was born in the sticks of Louisiana. Louisiana and waterproof, which is about 1,000, maybe about 500 people when he lived there. He said all they had was church. He said now we have all these various resources, and they're great resources. He said, but back then, if you had a headache, you wouldn't saw the preacher. When you had a problem or a situation with your wife or your spouse or work, you wouldn't spoke to the preacher. He said the preacher was everything, so we learned quite fast on what church meant. I think we're so busy with life these days that we miss what church is all about. It's not about the building. It's always been about Jesus Christ and the blood. So those who are disciples, are you discipling those around you? And if you're not, I want to challenge you to make that commitment. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, you're great. You're awesome. You're amazing. Thank you for Jesus. He's the only man I know that lived a sinless life. He rose with all power in his hands, and now he sits at the right hand of you, interceding for us. Thank you for the gift. I like to pray, Father God, for those who don't know about this gift, the gift of salvation. I pray that they will open their hearts and receive the free gift. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. It's freely given. So I pray if you're quickening their hearts, that they will go and give their life to you. I also want to pray for the believers, those who are called disciples. I pray that this will encourage us to get outside of our comfort zone and look beyond the walls, preaching the good news to those who need to hear, in hopes that more will come to the kingdom of God. As we begin to take offerings, Father God, I pray for those who are being obedient, because it is a commandment as well. You're just asking for some of what you already given us. I pray, Father God, that we do it with a cheerful heart. And those who want to give but have nothing to give, I pray that they make a commitment to follow you all the way today. That's our prayer. We thank you, love you, in Jesus' name. Amen.